Well, we're in the second chapter of Ruth, looking at the last two verses in the second chapter. And I've just enjoyed this chapter so much. We're looking at Naomi's final response to Ruth after Ruth's testimony. You can just see this conversation taking place, going back and forth between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth comes home, and Ruth shows Naomi everything that she has brought home, and Naomi praises the Lord, and Ruth says, by the way, this is something else that Boaz said unto me, and Naomi then is going to respond to Ruth in verse 22. So you just have this, and then Ruth is going to do something in verse 23, so you just see this wonderful interaction between these two women. So Naomi's going to give assurance to Ruth now. She's already explained who Boaz is. He's their next kinsman. And Ruth has said, well, this is something he said to me that I should do, keep close to his young men or his servants until all of my harvest is ended. And so verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she's saying, this is good. She's saying that Boaz's words are good. Because remember the previous verse is, and Ruth said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good. It is good. Good means that it just comes from, it means it's a good thing. One of the translations is, it will be a good thing for you if you do this. It will be good for you. It also means kindness, better, and beautiful. In other words, Boaz's words showed his kindness to Ruth. She's saying, you know, he's really showing kindness to you. This is good. He didn't have to say this. He didn't have to give her this extra encouragement and this extra bit of instruction. He could have let Ruth fend for herself or defend herself, but he said, listen, Ruth, I want you to stay close by my servants. So that's kindness on his part. And also it means to make better, and he made Ruth's situation better. That would make her situation better. She would be safer. She would be more protected. She sees his kindness, and I just thought about something that the psalmist said, and if you turn over to Psalm 63:3, I think Ruth probably could have said this in her heart or something similar to it. In Psalm 63:3, and this is David, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is better, this is good. And in a sense, Ruth is going to be able to really praise Boaz because of this, just as Naomi is. Also, just as those words show his kindness, and just as those words make her situation better and are a good thing for her, those words also were beautiful. One of the definitions for good is beautiful. In other words, Boaz's words were beautiful in their grace and in their graciousness. They were beautiful. And Naomi saw this. It is good, my daughter. Those are beautiful words, gracious words. Those are kind words. Those are words that will make everything easier for you when you're out in the field. Each of these words or definitions is really a reflection of Boaz and what she will be able to enjoy through him. Kindness, be better, and beautiful. Also, when Naomi gives Ruth this assurance and she said, it is good, she examines everything that Boaz has said and she sees that it's a good thing. There's nothing bad, nothing negative, nothing harmful to Ruth. It's all good. Every word of Boaz, not just those short words in verse 21, but which is basically what she's commenting on, but you can take that statement, Ruth, this is good, what he has said, and it covers everything that Boaz has said to her and everything that Boaz has done for her. there's, it's sound advice. You know, this is a good thing. This is good advice. You need to pay attention to it. And what really struck me is there's two parts to this pertaining to Ruth. When Naomi says, you know, Ruth, this is a good thing. This is really good for you if you do this. And the first part of what was good has to do with what Ruth has to be willing to do. And I thought about, you know, Ruth is a young woman, and she had the independence of youth to overcome. Youth is independent. Youth is impetuous. Youth thinks, I can handle this. Youth really doesn't see the consequences far ahead of what some of your present actions could do or cause. Ruth has to, in a sense, overcome, she's young. She has to overcome her youth. She has to overcome that independence of youth in order to really lay hold of what is good for her. And I think about this many times. The young want their independence, and many times they fail to listen to good advice. You know, Naomi's saying, you know, Ruth, this is good advice. And many times the young don't listen to good advice. Doesn't matter how good it is, they're going to do what they want to do. And many times the young fail to see the danger that's ahead. So Ruth is going to have to absolutely trust that what Boaz has asked her to do, though it may be constricting, you know, she won't be flitting off here and there and going to other fields, and maybe from her perspective, well, I can get more if I go all these other fields. She's going to have to trust that this is just good for me and good advice, and let go of some of that independence. She has to be willing to follow good words and sound advice. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul tells us to do? He talks to Timothy so much about sound doctrine and sound teaching and to follow that which is sound. And Ruth is really going to have to lay hold of these sound words and this sound advice and follow it. And there will be a loss of independence if she listens to his words, because one of the things that's going to happen if she stays close by those servants of Boaz is she's going to be separated from a lot of things that she could go out and enjoy, or people's companionships that she might go out and meet. You know, there were a lot of people there in Bethlehem. And remember the day that they're living in, the times of the judges? Not everything that was done in the times of the judges was godly. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. This is really the prevalent idea of the time. So there's a lot going on out there that she needs protection from. So if she's going to heed that which is good advice and do that which is good, she's going to have to be separated. So separation is good and good for us. Separation is makes us better, makes us beautiful, is really the kindness of the Lord, rather than the restriction of the Lord. We see his kindness in separating us. She also has to be willing to, if she's going to do what is said here, stay close by my young men or my servants, my male and female servants. Not only is she going to have to be willing to be separated, but she's going to have to be willing to serve, because that's what they're going to be doing. Their days are going to be filled with service. You follow them. Stay close to them. So service is good and good for us. So separation and service are good, but those two things are just the opposite of independence. So by following Boaz's maidens, Ruth is going to be taught these things, separation and service, and her character is going to be developed because of this. So the first part of what is good has to do with what she's willing to do. It's good advice, and Boaz has told her this, and Naomi has reinforced what Boaz has said by saying, Ruth, this is good. You need to listen to this. And the second part of what is good is how that when she does this, Ruth is going to put to the test all the promises of Boaz. The reward for separation and the reward for service is always good. There will be a reward. She caught a glimpse of that reward that first day. whether she realized it or not, she was taking that first step in separation because she followed his servants, and that first step in service because she labored wholeheartedly, and there was a reward at the end of the day. So the second part of what is good and good for her is not just what she's willing to do, but what Boaz is willing to do and what he will do, how he will uphold his promises. There will be a reward from Boaz for Ruth. That's good. This is good, Naomi says, because you know what? There's going to be a reward here at the end of the harvest. The two scriptures that I thought about concerning this, the first is in they're both in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I'd like you to turn there for a minute because I think both of these express the reward that comes from doing that which is good, following after that which is good, heeding good words and sound doctrine, and a willingness to be separated and a willingness to serve. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." There's this reward. "That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." You know, there's that good work that is going to flow forth from his good promises and the blessings that he has set before us. His grace, you know, Boaz's words really epitomize his grace and show forth his grace. And so there is this promise that he will make all grace abound toward her. That's good. And then she will be enabled to abound in every good work. And that's good. But Ruth, by faith, must prove or put Boaz's words to the test. Boaz says to her, "I want you to do this." Well, underneath that admonition or that request on his part is a promise. "I want you to do this." And he doesn't say, "Do it and nothing's going to happen." "Do this and something will happen." And so, remember what Paul says in Romans 12:2. He says that we may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ruth is going to prove what is good pertaining to Boaz and acceptable and perfect because his words are good. If his words are good, his actions are going to be good. And so her obedience is just going to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good is there. It's her obedience that's going to prove the truth of his words. One of the things that I thought about is, you know, there is a reward for separation and service, and it's always good. There will always be a reward for separation and service. And there's a reward from Boaz for Ruth, but it's a hidden reward. She's really not going to see the full potential of it until the end of the harvest. But there is also an ongoing hidden reward that she may not realize that's good, and that is his grace for enabling for service, and his grace that helps her do her work, and his grace that makes what she does a good work. I just think that's so good that if she heeds these words and does what Boaz asks, then there will be that grace and enabling to serve, and in that service, that grace helps her really serve in a way that exemplifies her work. Her work at the end of the day will be shown forth as a good work. And that's a hidden reward in itself. Ultimately, it will be seen at the end of the harvest when she makes her request of Boaz. But, you know, sometimes when the Lord asks us to do something that demands a price from our lives, a cost, a separation, a service, there is, at the time that we do it, a reward ongoing in our life that we may not see until the work's all done. And we look back and we say, "I don't know how I was able to do that." You know, Carolyn, you may look back at, you know, the time you spent taking care of your mother, and you probably can say, "I don't know how I could do that. I don't know how I was able to do that and continue and do all these other things that I did in my life." But the Lord enabled you, and it brought forth a good work. So Ruth has to stay close to Boaz's maidens, and it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. Now there's two things here. She stays close to Boaz's maidens, that they'll go, that thou go out with his maidens. That just means stay close to him. When you go out, make sure that that's who you go with. Don't go with anybody else. To go out means to go after. And I look at that, and that's like go after them in obedience. Look at their obedience. They get out in the field, and they go. To go out means to go forth. And to me, I see in that a purpose. They're going forth, and there is a purpose in their action. And to go out means to go with. And there you see a unity or a companionship with them. So there's an obedience in going after, a purpose in going forth, and a unity in going with them. So go out with his maidens. In other words, their behavior is going to be an example for her. I want you to follow after Boaz's maidens. She's given companions to labor with and learn from. And I like that. She was a young woman, and wouldn't it be nice to have other young women to talk with and walk with and fellowship with and, you know, talk about things that young women talk about? The Lord's given her, through Boaz's words, companions to labor with, but not only to labor with, but to learn from. Because when you work side by side with somebody, you're going to learn something from them. That word also, that thou go out with his maidens, means to send with a commandment. It has underneath it the force of a commandment. In other words, this is a command from the master to his servants. You go out with my maidens. The Complete Jewish Bible says, translates this, keep going out with his maidens. Keep on going out with his maidens. In other words, don't start and then stop. Don't be all enthusiastic the first day to do it, and a week later peter out and say, oh, you know, this is kind of hard. I think I'll go off in this other field, or I'm tired of this companionship, or I'm tired of this work. Don't start and then stop. Keep doing this, and do it every day of the harvest until the harvest is finished. Do it every day. Be faithful to do it. And so this is Ruth's choice, and it's something her heart must choose to do and keep on doing it. And Naomi says, this is good. Keep on doing this. And you can see how Ruth is going to start with small steps, with little steps in obedience that in the end will have far-reaching consequences. This is just a little step she has to take. Just stay close to Boaz's maidens. Just keep going every day and laboring with them every day, and don't give up. Just do that one little thing, and it doesn't seem like you're doing much, but in the end, there will be great consequences. And we look at the little steps of obedience we take in our life, and just one little step is come to church. You know, just come to church. That's one little step, and if you did it every time, can you imagine over a period of years the changes that would take place in your life? If you did it once a month, or once every 2 months, or, you know, once every 6 months, you don't get quite the benefit as if you keep on doing it. Now, Naomi's going to explain another reason why this is good. The first reason that she says that it's good is basically because Boaz says it's good. Because Boaz says it, and because he says it, it's got to be good. If Jesus says something to us, it's good. If the Word says something to us, it's good. But the other reason that she says it is good is because Ruth will be protected. That they meet thee not in any other field. That's another reason. If you stay close to his maidens, this is going to be good. That word meet means to meet with violence, to strike or clash with by violence. In other words, it's not a casual meeting, it's a laying in wait and pouncing upon, and there are three translations for this word meet. The Amplified Bible translates this molested. Lest in any other field you be molested. They'll meet you and molest you. It means to meet with violence. Remember, this is Judges. You know, there's a lawlessness, and there is this animosity against the Moabites. Not everybody's a godly man like Boaz. There was a lot that went on during the times of the Judges that was not good. The NIV translates this, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. They'll meet you and harm you. And the Jewish Bible says, so that you won't encounter hostility in some other field. So you see in that, if they meeting somebody in another field, that there would be this hostility attached to that confrontation, and they would act on that hostility, and she could be harmed and molested. And so Naomi says, you know, this is another reason this is good, Ruth. You don't want to meet anybody in any other field, because they may not treat you like Boaz is treating you. One of the commentators said, this was a reminder of the especially low morals in the days of the judges, you know, in the day when every man did that which is right in his own eyes. The last part of what is good is the consequences and the results. The first part is, you know, what she has to do. She has to do what is good. The second part is, if she does what is good, how she's protected by that. These are the results. They're good results. And it's her proximity to Boaz's handmaidens that will protect her. If you stay close by his handmaidens, then nobody can come into Boaz's field and molest you or harm you or show you any hostility. By her very proximity to his handmaidens, she's protected. Because how was Boaz described in the very first verse of this chapter? A mighty man of wealth. He was respected and he was feared. And staying close to them and serving Boaz will identify her as his handmaiden. And people are going to sit up and take notice. And if she walks home from Boaz's field, even if she walks home alone from Boaz's field, they're going to know that she is his handmaiden. And if something happens to her, they will be held accountable. Boaz will take action. So staying close to them and serving Boaz kind of identifies her. Naomi recognizes that Boaz doesn't want Ruth to be harmed, but he knows that she could be. Kind of shows you how dangerous it was for her. He doesn't want her to be harmed, and he knows that she can be, and the only way he can protect her from those that might harm her is to say, just stay close by those that belong to me. Just work in my field and stay close by my servants. And until Boaz claims her and until she's joined to him, she's vulnerable. And so we need to be aware of the danger of stepping outside the will of God. What Boaz asks Ruth to do here constitutes the will of God for her life. And she can or can choose not to do this. She can choose to do it or she can choose not to do this. This is an option that is set before her. It is God's will for her. It will protect her and teach her lessons that she can't learn otherwise. But if you stray or step outside of God's will, then you open yourself up to danger. And so there are consequences if you know what God's will is for your life and you walk apart from it. I mean, there are consequences. Boaz has already told her in this second chapter to go not into other fields and to abide fast by his maidens. He said that in the 8th verse of this chapter. He has already hinted that this is my will for you, and this is kind of a restriction on your life. And sometimes God's will for us restricts us. It just holds us in, it hedges us, it keeps us from going out and doing what other people do, but it's for our protection. You know, I've told you the story. I can still remember when I was 16. That's when I went on my first date, 16, as a late bloomer. And it was bowling, I remember. Went bowling with somebody. But also, later on when I was 17, no, when I was 18, I was in high school. I dated somebody. And he was kind of like my first really big crush. And his family was wealthy. And they owned property on a lake. And he invited me to go up with him for the weekend to the lake. And Mom and Dad said, no, you can't.
Without his parents being around.
And I couldn't figure out why. And Mom said, you know, you'll be putting yourself in a situation that is temptation, and you're not ready for that. I won't allow you to do that. And well, I was upset for a long time because I thought, they don't trust me. Well, you know, she knew me better than I knew me, and she didn't know this boy that well, and boys are boys and girls are girls, and with no parents around, you know, you don't know what can happen. So there was this restriction on my life, and had I disobeyed that and stepped outside of those boundaries, you know, there could have been consequences. So we have to, in a sense, submit to the will of God for our lives. And Jesus said that really what that means is just abide in Him. We just need to abide in Him. He tells us that in the 15th chapter of John. We need to abide in two things, in Him and in His Word. And if we abide in Him and in His Word, then there will come forth from our lives fruit. But in doing that, there are a lot of things that we don't do because we're clinging close to Him. If we abide close to His servants and His handmaidens and His field and no other field, it restricts us, but it protects us also. At the end, Ruth is going to do this, and Boaz is going to look at Ruth, and he's going to say, you're a virtuous woman. Now, if she had flitted around from field to field and flitted and flirted, flirted with the young men, which he says she didn't do, and flitted around from this field to that, her testimony wouldn't have been that as a virtuous woman. But she stayed close by his handmaidens, and that was her testimony. One of the things that I thought of concerning Ruth is when it's all said and done, at the end of the harvest, because Ruth has abided in the things that Boaz has asked her to abide in him and in his word, his admonitions, she's going to do what Jesus said later on. Jesus said, if you do abide in me, then you can ask of me what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Well, at the end of the harvest, Ruth is going to ask of Boaz. Because she has abided. And that promise is going to hold true. Just as Jesus said, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Ruth is going to go to Boaz, and she's going to ask something, and it will be done. Well, it's because she has abided in her. She's willing to come boldly to the throne of grace because she's had proximity with the one whom she serves, and she feels like she can ask of him and lay that claim upon him. And then looking at this last verse in this chapter here, I just love what Ruth does here. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Isn't that wonderful? How did Ruth respond to Boaz's and Naomi's instructions? She obeyed. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. You know, she had this double witness, in a sense. I was thinking about that this morning. Boaz told her something, and Naomi told her that what Boaz said was good. Listen to Boaz. That's a double witness. And you find here that there is this obedience here on Ruth's part. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. She kept close, or she stayed close. She took Naomi's words and Boaz's words to heart, and she obeyed them. She did what was asked of her without question and without complaining, without saying, well, gee, that doesn't seem fair, or do I get a day off, or, you know. Yeah. She embraced all the meanings of what it means to keep fast, which means to abide fast and to follow close. She kept fast, abide fast, follow close by. You know, that shows she had a purpose and she had a direction. She knew where she would go each day. She knew what she would do each day. She knew who she was going to follow in fellowship each day. Kind of reminds me, when I was in the Army, I knew when I got up in the Army what I was going to wear each day. Didn't have to worry about agonizing over what was in the closet. There it was. And even when I worked full-time out of the Army for the National Guard, you wore the uniform. I knew what I was going to wear. You know, there's something to be said for knowing where you're going to go each day. For Ruth, she abided fast and she followed close. That just, she had a purpose and a direction for her life. She knew where she was going, what she was doing, and who she was going to be with. And our lives, I think, need purpose, and they need direction, and they need structure. And that following close really is what it's all about. When we follow close to the Lord and follow close with God's people, our lives have purpose and direction and structure. To follow close after means, first of all, to abide fast and follow close. And it also means to cleave fast together with somebody. That means you're joined with them. To cleave means you cling to, but it means to cling hard to. And when you do that, it means you're together with somebody else. It means you're joined. It means to be joined together with somebody. So when she keeps close by these maidens, there's this purpose and direction, but then there's this fellowship and companionship. She's joined to them. She's she gets close. I bet she makes some close friends laboring in that field. She's got some girlfriends now that girls can talk to each other about. You know, these maidens become her companions, and they're going to teach her something. And one of the things that it says in Proverbs 13:20 is, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. In other words, and then it says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The companions that you walk with teach you things. You learn from them. Their speech affects your speech. Their dress, the way they dress affects how you dress. Their actions affect your actions. So that these maidens become her companions, and they'll teach her wisdom. He that walketh with wise shall be wise. So she'll walk with these maidens, and she'll end up being wise. These maidens are her companions, and they're going to teach her good manners. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, and, you know, we're really familiar with this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. What? Evil communications.
Corrupt good manners.
Corrupt good manners. And communications could be companionships. Evil companionships corrupt good manners. And so if she has good companions, they'll teach her good manners. And that isn't, you know, how to eat right with a table fork. the fork and the knife, it's morals and character. She's going to learn how to walk, and she's going to learn how to talk, and she's going to learn how to conduct herself as a godly woman. Remember, she's from Moab. She's got to unlearn a lot of things. Here we see Ruth clinging tightly as she follows closely. Follow closely and cling tightly. And she's going to learn through fellowship. We learn through fellowship, our fellowship with one another and our fellowship with the Lord. So this statement speaks of Ruth's obedience, and this is really what I think will please Boaz more than the amount of grain that she gleans that will profit him as the owner of the field. I think he'll be more concerned with the amount of grain she can glean for herself as opposed to what will fill his storehouses. But also, I think he is more concerned with just her obedience to what he asks her to do as opposed to her labor on his behalf. Well, they do go hand in hand. Did Jesus learn obedience? But he learned obedience by what? The things that he suffered. It says that in Hebrews 5:8. Ruth's life, I think, is filled with lessons of obedience and lessons of suffering. You know, I think, you look at this, her obedience in leaving Moab taught her something. I think when she left Moab, that obedient step taught her to let go of her past. She let go of her country. She let go of her family. Her obedience in following Naomi taught her to embrace God and his promises. You know, that taught her something, but that was suffering. Her obedience in laboring in the fields of Boaz, I think, are going to teach her about provision and providing. I think that she learned to provide for Naomi. She learned to serve. She learned to submit. She learned to be faithful. She learned to be separated. And I think she kind of learned a lot about Boaz. She'd see him every day, maybe sit at the table with him every day and see his grace in action. She learned about him. She got to know him a lot more by the end of both those harvests. In each experience, I think there's something that she suffered. It was hard and it wasn't easy, but there was something that she learned. I think suffering teaches us and prepares us and strengthens us, so that at the end of the harvest, Ruth comes forth stronger. And I think her obedience would be seen not just by the servants and Naomi and Boaz, but by all of Bethlehem. I thought about how that Paul says that we have this opportunity in our lives to show forth the riches of his grace. He tells us that in Ephesians 2. 7. And he tells us in Ephesians 3:10 that we can show forth the manifold wisdom of God, and that's seen forth by all of creation, all of the heavenly angels, good and bad. I think there should be a visible testimony in our lives and before the Lord and before the saints and before the world, and that we can render that same obedience and that same submission to Jesus, who is our Boaz. And we see that all through the New Testament scriptures. Paul wrote the Romans, and he said to the Romans, your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Obedience is really an important trait of our lives. One commentator said, Ruth followed God fully and in a path apparently dangerous, and yet not only sustained no injury, but succeeded well in all things. From this, as well as from innumerable other circumstances, we see the truth of that word, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and what? He shall direct thy steps. And with this we may ever connect the scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Whosoever follows God in simplicity of heart will most assuredly be guided into all truth. I like that. And she followed in simplicity of heart. How long did Ruth continue to glean? Through the barley harvest, until the end of the barley harvest. And the barley harvest was toward the end of April, and through the wheat harvest, and the wheat harvest ended around May or the 1st of June, so that she gleaned from April through June. Now, it may not sound like much, 4 to 6 weeks, but that's 4 to 6 weeks of hard work. And that's 4 to 6 weeks of lessons that she's learning. Finally, one writer wrote, "Ruth's gleaning labors extended to the close of the wheat harvest, during which time, no doubt, there would be frequent opportunities for a growing intimacy between the gleaner and the proprietor. Often, too, we may rest assured, would Boaz be a visitor at the humble home of Naomi?" Maybe he came by to check and see how they're doing. And where did she continue to dwell when she gleaned? She dwelt with Naomi, her mother-in-law. She stayed with and cared for Naomi. I looked at it this way. She spent her days serving Boaz and her nights serving Naomi. So she was a servant by day and a servant by night. She learned to be content with what she was and what she had. And you see in her such a testimony of obedience and service. Praise the Lord.
Struck by that, she grew up with her mother-in-law, because you think, you know, now the kids are like Kayla leaving home at 17 and go live with a boyfriend, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's like she could have picked up somebody or somebody picked her up, you know, and, oh, you're new here, you know, let's get together and we'll have an apartment together or whatever, you know, it's like that she kept faithful to her mother-in-law and cared for her. And
well, she, you know, she was a widow. I mean, she was... Even though she may have been young in years, she was an adult in her experiences. But no. But I like that she served Boaz by day and Naomi by night.